the NASPA's recommendations are really to look more at people with graduate degree education, and in part, you know, they're not saying don't look at veterans, don't look at experienced level workers, don't look at the students coming under undergraduate programs, but ultimately there's not enough attention paid to those that are coming out of master's levels programs. And not only is there not enough attention paid, but there really aren't any direct entry pipelines to get in for the most part. So a greater focus on programs like the Presidential Management Fellows that provide an opportunity for folks with graduate level degrees to get into government and stay long term.
What was the issue that they were looking at? What was the problem out there that they were trying to fix?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different issues that are on the table. One is size of programs such as the Presidential Management Fellows, and it's not simply about size.
They were too big or too small?
Too small in general. Basically, mm-hmm. there's about 500 to 550 people that currently come through the Presidential Management Fellows program. Not all of those folks stay in government either. But in general, if you look across government, and it's really hard to collect the data on how many graduate level degree holders there are that are coming into government, but the data shows that it's not a lot of people that are coming in. Hmm. And again, you know, it's interesting to keep in mind that a lot of the master's degree level folks who are coming in aren't coming, you know, they haven't progressed simply from undergraduate to graduate school. They've actually gone out in the workforce. They've worked in the nonprofit sector. They may have already worked in the government sector. They've worked in the private sector. They're going back to get a graduate degree. Now they're interested in government. And there really are no direct pipelines in.
Now, within this proposal is the idea that most graduate students would be able to go through a sort of a non-competitive appointment to a permanent position within a federal agency. You know, they have to go through the internship, but then they could segue that into a full-time position. What do you think about that?
Yeah, actually, I think that's in part where the biggest debate has come up around this issue is the use of the non-competitive term. NASPA is not at all in their white paper, nor is the partnership advocating that whether it's an undergrad level student, a master's degree holder, come in non-competitively. In fact, if you look at a traditional program like the Presidential Management Fellows Program, for instance, there were 8,700 people holding master's degrees, recent master's degree candidates coming out of colleges and universities who applied to be PMFs during this last cycle, 8,700.
Right.
Out of that, there were 865 who were selected as finalists. Out of that, ultimately, roughly 500 to 550 will be placed. That's not non-competitive. That's highly competitive. But the fact of the matter is, Ben, from there, And Presidential Management Fellows do actually have this opportunity to then be appointed non-competitively after they successfully complete their 2 years as a Presidential Management Fellow. But so it isn't that they come in non-competitively, but we really, government has to look more intentionally at developing pipelines where you use internship programs. And again, the PMF program is a great example of this, where you come in, you've actually got an opportunity for 2 years to kind of kick the tires on the car. From both sides of the equation, the PMF gets to say, is this the right agency for me? Is this the right fit? Is this the type of work I really want to do? On the other side, the agency gets to say, is this the right fit for me? Is this somebody we want to convert to full-time employment, or do we cut them loose? That actually is one of the best assessment mechanisms that's available, and we need to actually capitalize on that.
And I think part of the concern out there is, hold on, are disabled veterans or some of the other groups that we give favored status to, do those people get less opportunity, right?
Yeah, that certainly is one of the concerns. And again, you know, I think NASPA points out appropriately in their white paper, and certainly, again, the partnership would advocate for this as well, is that, you know, government needs good talent. It needs talent at a lot of different levels, and a lot of that talent needs to come from, or at least some of that talent needs to come from outside government. Why? Because they bring new ideas. They bring new approaches. They bring new experiences. They bring a different set of skills. They may bring some different perspectives. But you can't develop one set and only one type of pipeline. So you need to look at master's degree candidates. You need to look at programs, quite frankly, like this around veterans as well. You know, should there in fact be an internship program for veterans that is exclusively set aside or looked at for veterans, promoted exclusively to veterans as a pipeline to get more veterans into government? Again, give them the experience, highly competitive on the front end. If they succeed in that internship, you convert them to full-time employment. You need to look at those pipelines for the entry-level folks who are coming out of college and universities at the undergraduate level. You probably need to look at some of those even for more experienced folks coming out of private or nonprofit sector. Again, NASPA and certainly the partnership are not advocating that this be the only pipeline that's available, but really look holistically at this. And my point in response to kind of the NASPA white paper earlier this week was that ultimately, you know, you've got to look at the broad cross range of talents that you need and figure out how to take the best practices from some of these programs that are actually working and try to incorporate those into other activities.
And Tim, this is a proposal. What happens to it at this point, and do we see it having legs? Is there any momentum behind this?
Yeah, you know, I think yes, there are some legs to it in general. I think, you know, certainly, you know, in a report that the partnership released in April of 2009, Leaving Talent on the Table, wasn't far off from some of these recommendations on the internship level, saying, you know, it's not good enough to have at your agency a friends and family internship program where you're only attracting people who are sons and daughters of employees. You need to actually look at what are your talent needs in the year and years ahead, and then bring interns in that again you can kick the tires on. They can kick the tires on you, and you figure out if it's the right fit. If it is, make that offer. But that's not going to solve all your needs. Again, I think OPM and OMB and their hiring reform initiatives that they're looking at are considering these things. But again, they're considering them as a piece of the broader pie. There's no one silver bullet to this. Yeah. And that's in part because the needs of government are so diverse as well, that you've got to look at a lot of different, entry points. But again, the key to this argument or the white paper that NASPA put forward is where you know that you're getting people in, very competitive process. Make it easy then for them to stay in government. Don't turn them away and make them go through a convoluted process to get back in again if they've demonstrated that they can do the job and are the right fit for your agency.